Good evening. Glad to be here tonight. Still saved. Thank the Lord for that. Makes me happy to know that no matter what I face, what kind of trials and testings that we face on a daily basis, the Lord's there with us. He's going to see us through. He's going to make certain that we get through them. And He's going to get us to heaven if we'll let Him get us to heaven. The point is that we've got to let Him do it. My desire is to let the Lord work in my life in such a way that I can be a blessing for His kingdom, blessing to the saints of God, and a blessing to the world. We want to talk tonight about expectations, and we want to turn to get our text scripture from Matthew, the 11th chapter. We want to begin reading at about the 7th verse, Matthew 11, verse 7. Someone give me some water, please. I'm one that drinks a lot. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? What went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiments? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he is the least in the kingdom of heaven. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now Jesus is speaking to the multitude here, and he's speaking about some individuals that had gone to hear John the Baptist and his ministry. As we know that John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he came preaching the gospel and saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he's saying to the individuals that had gathered together, and he said, Remember when you went to see John the Baptist, what did you expect? What were the things that you expected when you went out there to see? Did you expect a man that was a little bit unstable? Did you expect some doctrines that were a little bit instability, a reed shaken with the wind, that today is this way, tomorrow it's that way? What was your expectations? And he said, did you expect to see a person that was clothed in fine garments and like in a king's house? He said, is that what you expected when you went out there to see? And I would imagine that when people went out there and they heard about John the Baptist, and there was a certain expectation that they had of him, just like you would say that there's a certain expectation that you have of this revival, a certain expectation that you have of your pastorate. When he stands behind the pulpit, one expectation that you should have is that he's gotten something from the Lord. There is an anointing on his life, not just on the message that he preaches. You can't have an anointed message that you preach unless you have an anointed life. Unless you live a life that is holy and righteous before the Lord, there's going to be you're not going to be able to minister that to the people. So there should be an expectation, and no doubt you have an expectation when you come to service, and maybe an expectation of the individuals that you're going to see in the services today. You are expecting that there are certain ones that are going to be there. Every time the doors open, those individuals are there. Here is a situation where the Lord is saying to those individuals, what did you expect? And some of the individuals, I believe, did not receive what they expected. The Pharisees, you go into the next chapter. Let's read a little bit in the third chapter of Matthew. I'm going to read Matthew 3 and verse 4. All right, I'll start at the first verse here, Matthew 3. It just kind of gives us some background on John the Baptist here. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Now when you take that into consideration, that's not really somebody that you would say is a prophet material. There's probably an expectation that they had of John, that John would be an individual that maybe was a little bit more refined than that. But yet and still he wasn't. This was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And you had to be able to discern that in the spirit, not just by looking on the outward and seeing what it was on the outward, but there was a discerning of his spirit that there is something different from this man. And there were individuals that came and they discerned it in their spirit that the message that he preached was a good message. It was the gospel. And they were baptized in the baptism of John. And John pointed them. It wasn't just his baptism, but he pointed them to Jesus Christ. That the expectation should not be with this man, but it should be to Jesus Christ. In the same way today, sometimes that there are expectations that we have of individuals. And one of the things that we'll find out is that people will not live up to our expectations. Not all the time. We're going to be disappointed. I'm certain that everyone in here has been disappointed at some time in their lives about somebody that they had great expectations for, and those individuals didn't fulfill their expectations. Well, in the same way, some of us have wrong expectations of God. Do you realize that? Do you realize that you have the wrong expectation of God's people? These individuals had the wrong expectation of a prophet of God, John the Baptist. He said, what did you go out there to see? You expected to see somebody that was refined, had on nice clothing and whatnot. He said, people that have those kind of soft raiments, they're in king's houses. That's not what it was. I don't want you to be distracted by what he has on. And sometimes a person that has on great, nice clothes, we feel a little intimidated by them. But here is a man that you realize and you understood, this man is humble. All he has on is a leather, and all he has on is the fur from an animal. All he eats is locust and wild honey. To some of us, it would be, well, I'm not so certain about John the Baptist. I'm not so certain that his message is right, because there doesn't seem to be something that's quite straight about him. That's what some of them thought. But yet those that heard the message of the gospel, and they were looking beyond the man and looking to what God could do for them, they heard it and they responded. What I want to encourage us tonight is, there is a message that God is saying to every one of us here tonight. There is something that he wants to get over to us. He wants us to understand it, and we need to get past the messenger to the message. All right? Sometimes the messenger, sometimes we're not able to express it like we want to express it. Even as a preacher, and after preaching for several years, and I believe every minister can attest to this, that there are sometimes you wonder, did I make any sense whatsoever? Did they understand anything that I said? But I believe through the Spirit of God, through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the Lord is able to take those feeble words that sometimes we don't have our grammar correct, all of these things, and God is able to minister to the very core of our being. Now, here is a situation here. I thought about in some churches nowadays, I was reading about one big mega church. We had a lot of mega churches around here, people that got $20,000 and $30,000, 30,000 people that are worshiping on a Sunday, and to the world that looks successful. To me, that's not success. I remember, I'm not going to name the church, but I was reading a little bit about what they did. They went around, they knocked on doors, and their desire was to get to the unchurched. So they knocked on the doors, and they basically said to the people, what do you expect in a church? What is your desire? What do you want to see in a church? And so what they did, they took these surveys of hundreds and thousands of people. They took a survey of those individuals, and they decided to make a church that fit the people's expectations. And so they had a certain groups, and they had certain ministries, we'll put that in quotations here, certain ministries that the individuals wanted. And so therefore, they were able to cater, and they were able to, cultivate a church that met the people's expectations. Now, I want to say this. To me, there's a little something wrong with that. The expectation that we should have is an expectation that God has laid down for his church. All right? Now, if we want to have ministries and whatnot, but the expectation does not come from the people, the expectation comes from God. God, what is it that you're expecting? Because the church is not my church. The church is not your church. The church is not anybody's church. It's God's church. So the expectation should be, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? How is it that you want us as a body of people, how is it that you want us to run your business? This is your business, Lord. Now, I'd like to say this also. There are some people probably sitting here, and maybe all of us have been guilty at one time or another, perhaps, that we've had expectations of God that were not the proper expectations. All right? We expect God, you can do anything. No thought is withholding from you. And Lord, I believe that you can do this particular thing, and I really believe that you're going to do it, and God didn't do it. Let me say that God is not bound by our expectations.
What we need to have is an understanding of who God is and the right concept of who God is. And when I say a right concept of who God is, do you realize that there are so many voices and babblings in the world today that everybody is telling us what to think and how to think? All right? When you look at the media, you turn on the radio, there's some talk radio hosts and whatnot that we listen to, and they basically form our opinions for us, believe it or not. You call in and you say, well, here's what I think, Rush, and listen, and I don't like what the liberals are doing and all that kind of thing. And we gravitate to that, and we have a certain expectation of our politicians basically based on what Rush Limbaugh thinks. Or what some other radio personality thinks. They have formed our opinions. Now, we want to say in our mind, no, they haven't. I'm a man and I can think for myself. We just happen to be aligned on the same line. Oh, really? You sure you're not being influenced? Where do you get your news from? When you know what's going on in the world, where do you get the news from? You pick up the Daily Oklahoman or the Guthrie, what's the Guthrie paper? What? Guthrie Leader. You pick it up and you read, and they have their perception. Now, I know a little bit something about journalism. That was my major in college. And what they basically do is give you a set of facts. And you basically have to type up a story about those facts. Now, generally speaking, when it comes to political facts, we say in our mind, yeah, and one of the things that the professors would often say to us is, you have to be unbiased. Don't insert your opinion in it. Just write the facts. But I don't believe that that's truly possible. I don't believe that it's possible for me to take the facts and just write an unbiased article about it, unless I say, this is what happened, and just put line by line and don't put anything else in there. This is why, because I have to filter it through my mind. You have to filter it through your mind, don't you? And just the fact that the media chooses what stories to run and what's important to them becomes what's important to us. So they tell us how to think. And they tell us what to expect of our politicians. And they tell us all of these things. And so if we are so naive as to believe that that does not have some kind of bearing on us when it comes into the spiritual realm, may the Lord help us. Because sometimes we feel like there are certain expectations. Let's take, for instance, an expectation of an advertisement. What is an advertisement? But an expectation for you to buy a product. So what do? They appeal to your senses. They appeal to your emotions. They put it in a nice, attractive couple driving this big SUV. They're not concerned about the gas mileage. And when you go out in the parking lot, look how many folks got an SUV, just like that. And the expectation was that you would buy it if I can make you feel in your mind that you deserve this. And that it'll give you freedom, and your hair is blowing in the wind as you drive down. But you know what? It doesn't seem like it works that way for me. Or for you, does it? I bought it and now I'm paying $450 a month and my hair is not blowing in the wind. But yet there was an expectation of freedom. Now I can go out and I can explore and I can go on all the mountain trails and whatnot. But I don't do any of that, do I? So they told me what to think. We don't feel like this is what they really do. We don't consciously see this happening, but it happens every day. The world is telling us what's right and what's wrong, and there is a certain expectation of us as saints of God, isn't there? They have an understanding of what to expect. What I want to say to... We have far more than we need, every one of us. I don't care who you are. I don't know anything about you. The poorest person in here has far more than they need. You know what you need? You need something to eat, something to drink, and you have water. That's all we really need, isn't it? But when you go into your cupboards, soda pop here, and about 10 or 12 kinds, Kool-Aid, Tang, tea. We don't need that. We don't have to have that. God never promised it to us. So what's happened to us? What has happened to us is that we have begun to expect things, and we've begun to see things as our needs that are not our needs. So when it comes to the point of the Lord dealing in it in a spiritual sense, when it comes to the Lord doing something for us, we also exceed our need and go to our point of expectation. So I expect God to give me something that God may never have expected to give me, have intended to give me. All right, I want to read some scriptures here. Philippians 4 and 19. If you get it before I do, read it for me. Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We use that scripture. Probably most of us know that scripture by heart, don't we? My God shall supply all your need. All of it. And then we have a perception of who God is, that God is this great being, that there is nothing too difficult for him to do, that he can do anything, and I go to him and I really believe and I say, Lord, give me this big fine house and this big nice car, and I'm expecting the Lord to do this for me, and the Lord doesn't do it. And so my expectations, and I feel like, well, Lord, I had every intention of keeping the saints when they come in for camp meeting. And the Lord doesn't do it. And sometimes we feel like, Lord, I've asked you to heal my body and you're not doing it. And I don't understand. I believe that I'm trusting you. And I don't believe that there is any doubt or any fear. But yet and still, we don't understand that what our needs really are. Let's turn to another scripture here. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. 1 Peter 1 and 6. You greatly rejoice, now for a season. You're in heaviness through manifold temptation. Now hold on for a moment. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, just for a little while, everything seems like it's going great and wonderful, and that becomes my expectation. That becomes my expectation for living for the Lord. When I got saved, we didn't intend to go through a lot of trials and tribulations and tests. I was tired of sin, and maybe the reason that I gave my heart to the Lord was so that I can take this great weight off of me, and it seemed like everything went wonderful for a short space of time. There is a season that the Lord allows us to go through that everything is wonderful. He says, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, if there is a need. Now he says, my God will supply all of your need. All of it. Now in my mind, in our minds, what the world has caused us to think and what others have caused us to think is, all I need is something good happening to me. I want it to be easy. And so, Lord, I don't want to be in any financial strain. I don't want to be in any physical strain. I don't want to have any kind of problems in my life. And so when I get down, I pray a selfish prayer. And I ask the Lord, Lord, take this away from me because I don't need all of this. I don't need it, Lord. But he tells us, if need be, and he knows what we need. Our expectation is to greatly rejoice for the rest of our lives. But he says over in James, he says, count it all joy. He didn't say it was going to be joy, but he said, count it as though it is anyway when you fall into diverse temptations. Yes. Trying of your patience. Faith worketh patience. So now he's saying here in this particular scripture, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation. The only way that a child of God is going to go through heaviness and have a heavy heart and go through manifold temptations and trials and tribulations and problems in their life is that God said, you need that. So I need to change my expectation to fit what God says I need. Because my expectation and my need are two different things, and I don't have enough wherewithal and enough a sense, if you will, to understand that they are two different things. I need trials. I need testing. I need those things. Why do I need it? Continue reading. Now, it'd be wonderful if the Lord came in and that somebody had a big treasure chest and there were four or five men that couldn't do it and he come and just drop it right there in your living room floor. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, praise God. Did you know what the Lord did? I got about $3 million of gold. And all of us would say, that's wonderful. Oh, praise the Lord. But when he brings this treasure chest and he drops it in the middle of your living room and when he opens it, it's a Pandora's box. Trials, testings, one thing after another. And he says, no, that's more precious than that $3 million that you were rejoicing about. Rejoice about that. If need be, you're in heaven is through manifold temptations. But here's my expectations. God, take it away. Take it away, Lord. And I prayed that way. And now I'm getting a little bit upset at God because he won't take it away. And he's saying, listen, be quiet. I want to show you what you really need. I want to show you that there is a discrepancy, an incongruency about your expectation and what I really want to give you. And I want to show you that there is an incongruency in your thought process of who I really am and what I really stand for. So now I want you to change your expectations of me and I want you to just trust me. I want you to stop saying, asking me to get you out of everything that you get into. I want you to understand that I'm testing your faith to see how strongly you want this. I want to know how bad you want it. I want to know how bad you want to make it to heaven. I want to know if you're going to stand the test of time. I want to know if I can trust you to go to this trial so that I can use you in a greater way 5 years from now. But if you do not go through this and you become a spoiled little spiritual brat and you expect all of these things for me to just hand these things out to you, you know what you'll be? You'll be a spoiled brat the rest of your spiritual life. And God has expectations of you. He's expecting you to allow him to use you. And the only way to use, let me tell you, when you're looking for a job, what do we look for? Qualifications, don't we? You send in your resume, and if there are some of you in human resources or some of you that are want to hire somebody, you really wouldn't want to hire me to be a swim instructor. I'm not a good swimmer. I can barely keep myself afloat, so I can't teach somebody else how to do that. You wouldn't want to hire me as a mechanic. Trust me, you wouldn't want to do that. Because I don't have the qualifications. But there are some in here, no doubt, that have the qualifications to do that. They can fix. They know what a carburetor is. They know how to do all the things that they need to do. Do you know? But yet and still, you expect God to use you, and you're not qualified to do the things that he wants you to do. Don't you suppose he has expectations too? Do you suppose that you've ever let him down? You suppose mankind has ever let him down, that he has an expectation? And let me tell you, his expectation, he knows what you can do. He knows what your potential is. May the Lord help us. Now, if need be, you're in heaven is through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He said, I want you to have something that's going to last. And let me tell you, everything that we have that's of any benefit has been tried and proven. Let me tell you, do you suppose that you want any kind of product that has not been tested? Do you want a product that hasn't been tested? Do you want to know? And let me tell you, it's not fair for them to market a product that has not been tested and say that it is supposed to have this much stress level, and then when you put it under that amount of stress, it breaks. That's not fair, is it? So what do? We take this broken part and we lay it and say, you know what? You claim that this is what it would do, but it broke under pressure. Now, in the same way, God wants to use, and this is the way I see it, that we are all interconnected. We're a body of Christ. And the Lord wants to use me. He wants to use you. He wants to use every one of us. And he has certain ways and certain capacities under which he wants to use us. But if you haven't been tested and proven, and you are put in a position of a position where you're supposed to have so much stress level, and you're supposed to bear up under it, and you break it, you know what's going to affect? It's going to affect me. If I break under the pressure that I'm supposed to, there is a certain level of pressure that I believe every minister has to be able to bear. And I believe the Lord won't put on us more than we're able to bear. My expectation is, Lord, as my strength is, so will my day be. That's my expectation. I don't know what today holds, but I realize, Lord, that if it holds something great and a great amount of pressure, you're going to give me that amount. But if I haven't been tested and proven under those kinds of circumstances that I break under the pressure, you know what's going to be affected? All of those that were counting on me. And in the same way, God uses you. Maybe you're not a minister. Maybe you're just one of the saints that holds the glue together, every joint supply, and you're one of the joints that kind of keep things from rubbing together. Let me tell you, when you have a joint problem, you've got a problem in the body, don't you? So maybe that's all that you are, but your expectation is to not bear up under very much pressure. I can't deal with a lot of spiritual pressure. Don't call me at 3 o'clock in the morning to pray for you because I need my sleep. Don't do that. You say. And so we come to the understanding, well, sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so can't be, don't call them because they're not going to be, no, they're not going to do it. Or when it comes time for somebody to bear up under something, then don't call them because, no, you begin to look and you see my list is getting small. And have you ever noticed how the people keep calling on the same people? I don't know if y'all have that problem here. You probably don't, do you? But if you're human like they are in Texas, it's the same people doing all of this. You have to call. And it's, you know, have you ever called somebody to do something? It's like pulling eyes. Well, brother so-and-so, can you take care of something? Well, did you call sister? Did you call brother so-and-so? Well, I don't know if I'm going to be. I don't know if I hope y'all don't have that problem. So consequently, you're having to call. See, I don't know. Me and Brother Stanley haven't talked about this, so I hope you don't have that problem. You're having to call the same people all the time. Lord, help us. Don't do that. You can wear somebody down. Let me tell you what we can do, too. We can wear your preacher down. I've been in those kind of places, kind of young and excited and zealous. Lord, help me to know you stop doing all that work. You let somebody else do it. Even if it is like pulling eye teeth. Let them do it. Let them fall on their faces. Let them make mistakes. But you have to teach them just like you teach a child. Or else you'll be doing it the rest of your life. So the Lord teaches you those kinds of things. So now, with a child, there are certain expectations that you don't have. I don't expect you to have a little boy that's 10 years old to take a 50-pound bag of cement, throw it over his shoulder, and carry it from here to there. We don't expect that, do we? Because he can't bear that. But I'm going to say an 18, 19, 20-year-old young man, I would expect him to be able to do that, pick it up, carry it from here to there, depending on his stature. Well, in the same way, spiritually speaking, what we're trying to say here is, spiritually speaking, God has certain expectations of you, of every one of us here. And he's not going to expect us to do something that a 10-year-old, if we're 10 years old, that needs to be a 25 or a 30-year-old man doing. He's not going to expect that of us. And in the same way, he's not going to expect us, if we're 25 or 30 years old, we're not going to get by with doing what a 10-year-old does. It goes both ways. And so what I want to say to us today is, God has an expectation of you just like you have one of him. So you want to tell God what to do with your life, he wants to tell you what to do. Amen. All right, let's go a little further here. Let's go to Luke, the 3rd chapter. 15th verse. Talk a little bit more about John. Luke 3 and 15.
People were in expectation, and all men knew in their hearts to tell whether he were Christ or not.
All right, they mused in their heart. They had. Now, we've heard about Jesus. We heard about this man. Is this man a Jesus or not? They had an expectation of a Messiah that was to come. And they had questions in their mind as to whether or not John was the Messiah. And we realize and we understand that John was a man that the Lord used to prepare the way for him. Do you realize that some of us are like John? That some of us, the Lord intends for us to meet a person on the street. That's our job. We're a John, if you will. And our job is for our Lord. And I believe the Lord uses us all in that capacity at one time or another in our lives. Where we prepare the way of the Lord. So in other words, the Lord, this individual wants to know a little bit about the Lord. They've never heard about him. And they want to know a little bit about him. And the Lord uses you. The Lord can use you to prepare the way before this individual. No, I'm not the Christ. Don't look up to me. But let me tell you a little bit of something about what the Lord has done for me. Let me tell you what he expects of you. So this is the thing that John was doing. John is saying, repent ye. This is the Lord's expectation of you. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and be baptized. So how many of us have gone out into the world and we've spoken to people and maybe we just started up a friendship. Maybe it was just somebody that we didn't know much about and they started talking about baseball or something and we just kicked up a conversation with them and before you know it, they had befriended us, we had befriended them, and before you know it, we were talking about the Lord. And we found out that the Lord had been dealing with this individual for a long time. Yeah, I know that there's something in my heart that's not right, and I want to be right. I've tried this and I've tried that, and nothing seems to work. What do I do? Now you can say to them, repent, and this is how you do it. It may be a little deeper than that. Not just repent, but they say you got to forsake your sin. Do you know a good majority of the people out there in the world today don't know that it is possible to live a life of holiness? Do you realize that most of them believe that you have to sin more or less every day? And if that is their expectation, there is something that the Lord is going to have to do to their mindset in order to get over that, to believe that I can live a life of holiness. Because I just don't believe it. I don't know. I believe that I've tried it before, and I believe that I'm going to sin. A person says, I believe I'm going to sin more or less every day. And I have this expectation of sinning. So when they attempt to get saved, and they go out to the whatever church that they're going to, and the preacher is doing the same thing, then there is this reinforced expectation, you might say. We're singing in the choir. And last night, we went to the party, and we were just having a good old time. And now the preacher's up there preaching, and he's preaching that God just wants you to be a good moral character, but to live a life of holiness. You're going to deceive yourself if you say that you're without sin. So that has been reinforced and reinforced and reinforced over and over, year after year, sermon after sermon, every Sunday. You know, we have it good because we believe that you really can. So we've surmounted the expectation that other people are still bumping up into, that I don't believe that I can actually make it. I don't believe that I can just actually be delivered from this habit that I have, this cruel habit. Because the expectation has been reinforced over and over and over again that I just don't believe. And let me tell you, it's not just out there. It's here sometimes. I don't know that the Lord can do this for me. Well, I know He can do it, saints. I know He can do it, but will He do it for me? And it seems like the enemy has reinforced that so much that we need to ask the Lord, Lord, I want you to renew my mind. There's a reason that scripture's in there. I want you to renew my mind so that I can believe that that I can have the expectation that you really can do. Let me tell you, our thoughts are precursors to our actions. So if I don't think that I can live this, if I don't think I can do it, I can't do it. The first process to do is to say, "I." You know that you can have a little bit of doubt and say, I think I can, let me try it. And that right there is enough to attempt it. And then when you are successful, that becomes your reinforcement. But until then, every time you hit a wall, that's reinforced, then that becomes, the wall becomes your expectation. I don't believe I can do that.
So I stopped trying. So the Lord wants to use us as little Johns to say, in the spiritual sense, to say to somebody that don't know about the Lord, let's prepare the way. Just trust Him. Take it one day at a time. You don't worry about tomorrow. What's going to happen when I see so and so? What's going to happen there? Well, don't worry about that. Just take it one day at a time. That's sufficient unto the day are the evils thereof. The weight is too heavy for me to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. It's too much. I can barely handle what's going to happen today. And the Lord gives me grace for today. And so this is what we tell the people. Why do we know this? Because we have had an expectation from the Lord that the Lord has seen us through. And you know how we've been able to be saved this amount of time? One day at a time. When it seemed like today was more than we could handle, the Lord brought the night and He gave us rest and He gave us peace. And then there was a new dawning of a new day. And we were saved one day at a time. And so now what do we say to the people that come that have these great expectations and they're saying, you know what, I'm expecting to live saved for the next 50 years. I don't expect to live saved for the next 50 years. I expect to live saved today. And then tomorrow I'll live saved. And before I know it, I'll look back and 50 years has passed by. But I can't live saved 50 years right now. And don't expect me to do it. Don't expect me to have a 50-year experience today because it's impossible for me to have it. So all I can do is say, listen, today I'm going to be saved. Tomorrow, by the help and the grace of God, I'm going to be saved. And before you know it, 50 years, 60 years has passed by, and I'm still saved. Thank you, Lord. That's how it's done. All right, that's the reality of it, isn't it? Thank the Lord. All right, let's go a little further here. Acts, the 12th chapter, verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hands of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Now this is Peter that was put in prison for preaching the gospel. Do you know that sometimes people have expectations of us? That as saints of God, these folks didn't want Peter to be preaching like he was preaching. And so they were going to do whatever they needed to destroy him, to destroy this gospel. Let me say this. There are those that will do whatever they can to destroy the gospel of Jesus Christ. They'll do whatever they can to discourage you from preaching, from standing firm. And it may not be the folks that are on the outside. And they want to hold you prisoner if they can. In any kind of way, they want to hold you prisoner. But let me say this. God has an ability to deliver us from their expectations. People that are looking down on us. People that are saying, you'll never have you ever had somebody to say, maybe you've gotten somebody's gotten saved in a family and the rest of the family wasn't saved and whatnot. And they say, you'll never keep it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The Lord can deliver you from their expectations. Their expectation is that it's going to last for only maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks from this camp meeting to the next camp meeting. And some folks say that. Some folks, that's all that they can believe in their mind, but God can deliver you out of the prisons of what other people think about you. Sometimes we're too concerned about what others think about us, and we need to be delivered from that. Sometimes we're living up to other people's expectations of us. That is a very difficult thing. No matter who you are, I cannot live up to your expectations. I guarantee you I'll disappoint you at some point in your life. At some point in what I do and what I say, it'll disappoint you. So I don't try to live up to your expectations. You don't try to live up to my expectations. I'm going to tell you who you don't ever have to disappoint, and that's the Lord. Amen. You can live up to His expectations every time. But let me tell you, when you begin to listen to what people say, and I believe we do this, and probably as parents, we do it to our children. There are certain levels of expectation that we have of our children. I have two. One child is very studious, straight-A student. The other child has the capacity to be a good, solid B student. But sometimes we have to push them. I won't say which one it is. Sometimes we have to push them. But I understand, I do not expect this one that is a solid B student to be a straight A student. I don't have that expectation of them. And they know that. So what we have to have is a realistic expectation of our children, or else we'll drive them too hard, we'll drive them too far, and they'll never be able, I never can make daddy happy, I can never make mama happy, she's always expecting more out of me than what I can actually give. They may not want to say that to you, but that's how they feel, and so you know what they do, they just get disheartened and they stop trying. And what is our job? This is a prison, isn't it? That's a prison for that little child. It's just like what they put Peter in, a prison where he feels like I have to perform or else I'm not good enough for my family. May the Lord help us. And so what we have to do is say, let's make a good, solid assessment of our children's ability. And if they're a C student, make them be a high C student. There's nothing wrong with being a C student. If they're not good at something, don't demand that they become very efficient at it. I'll never be a good mechanic. I don't care. You can teach it to me for the next 20 years, and I'll never be it because there is something in my mind that says, I don't like getting my hands all greasy like that. So I'm not going to put forth the effort, no matter what you say. There has to be some kind of incentive that will make me do it, and you telling me that I need to work on my own car is not good. I almost rather ride a bike. But some people are very adept to that. And you can make a good assessment that they can actually do this and it works for them. And in the same way, spiritually speaking, some of us are in a spiritual prison because we're expected to live a life of a 50-year-old saint and we just got saved yesterday. And we it never feels like I can do it. I know I can do it because Sister So-and-so. Stop, take your eye off of Sister So-and-so. Her personality is different than yours. Her background is different than yours. But we got saved at the same time. We've both been saved for 3 years. And she's doing so-and-so and he's doing so-and-so. And I'm not doing anything. Do you realize that some people develop different, slower and different in the natural sense? There is a lot of folks that are smarter right here that met, let's take everybody that is 40 years old or older. You know, some are smarter than the others. Some can get on a computer and work it, and some of them don't even know how to turn it on. So you're expecting me, just because both of us are 40 years old or whatever age they are, just because two people are 40 years old, they both need to be able to know how to work the computer. That's foolish. In the same way, spiritually, just because two people are the same age spiritually does not mean that they have the same ability spiritually. So this is why the scripture tells us to compare ourselves among ourselves. It's not wise to do, because you'll get disheartened, because I'll get disheartened because you far exceed me. And my expectation is a false and unrealistic and unreasonable expectation that I expect to be just where you are because we're the same age. It has nothing to do with it. You developed faster than I did. You're smarter and you're more adept in that thing than I am. And I have to be real. I have to be humble enough to understand it and to realize that I may never attain what you attain, but I can be saved. I can live a holy and a righteous life. I can do that. And the Lord may never want me to even know how to turn on a computer. And it may be that I'm your support. I'm bringing the drink of water for you to stay there and keep working. And I'm your support. But what I'm saying here is the Lord delivered Peter from the expectation of the people. Sometimes God has to deliver us from our own expectations of ourselves. We drive ourselves too much. Some of us are perfectionists. Everything has to be just right. And I know some people like that. Everything has to be just right. And if it's not just right, they have a real problem. They'll undo it and start all over. And I said, listen, you know what? Just make it good enough. Sometimes you put so much pressure on yourself that you're in prison. And I know some folks that are so perfectionist that they never finish anything. Because they never finish it because it's never good enough. Well, that's crooked. In the same way, spiritually speaking, we can put the same level of pressure on our spiritual self. Just drop our expectations. It's not because we're lowering our expectations. It's that we have the wrong expectations in the first place. So it's not a lowering of your expectations. Well, I want to be a good, solid saint. Well, you don't have to do that to be a good, solid saint. You can just be a good, solid saint. Don't compare yourself with me. Don't compare yourself with them. That imprisons you. And when it imprisons you, you can't get out unless God takes you out. So what I believe the Lord wants us to do is come to a level of understanding that this is how the enemy works against us. He fights us. And he gains victory with us. And I believe that there are spirits of the enemy that their design and their desire is to make us think wrong of God. And their design is, if I think wrong of God, then at some point it's going to be difficult for me to trust him, isn't it? Because he's going to continually fail my expectations of him. And so I believe that this is why some people just give it up and decide in their mind, you know what, I'm not even going to try anymore because I prayed and I asked the Lord to do this and he just don't seem like he's hearing me. So what's the point? Had someone talk to me not too long ago. This individual had been saved for some years and they were going through a very difficult time. And they came to the point of saying, you know what, I never thought God would fail me, but I feel like God failed me. And almost nothing that I could do. The Lord had taken somebody that was very close to them. And they just couldn't understand why God did that. And everything, they normally were a very chipper and a very happy person. And a very optimistic person. Now they became a person that was just pessimistic and nothing was good enough. And when we got down to the core of it, it was that they had a wrong perception of who God was. They had a wrong perception of God's expectations. They had a wrong perception that if need be, ye are in heaven is through manifold temptations. You needed this or God wouldn't have done it. Now sometimes we don't understand it, and sometimes I don't understand what God takes me through. Sometimes you don't understand what God takes you through, but we don't have to understand it. We just have to trust the Lord. Do you understand how that computer, when you go www.whatever you put in, do you understand the mechanisms of what caused it to go reach out, pull out that information, and put it up on that screen? Do you understand that? Most of us don't. Probably 99% of us in this room don't understand that. We just let it work, don't we? In the same way, some of the things we don't understand what God does, but if we'll just let him work, he'll get through to us. He'll never fail us, no matter what this person said. So what the Lord wants some of us to do is to reassess our expectations of him. Because we're looking at him in the wrong light. We're looking at him from the wrong perception. And if we look at him from the wrong perception, we're going to have a tainted view of who he is and what he's doing in our lives. All right, let's go a little further. Mark the 6th chapter, first verse, first 6 verses, please. And yes, yes, yes.
When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things?"
Yes.
What wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands?
Yes.
Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary?
Is not this the carpenter? Yes. All right. Yes.
A prophet
is not without honor, but
his
own country.
And among his own kin and in his own house.
Yes.
And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them.
Yes.
And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the village.
All right. Now, you see this? People had a certain expectation. Who is this man that's coming here with all these teaching? They knew that there was something that was penetrating and convicting about his teachings. They knew that. And I believe that the Lord, as the Lord was there teaching, the convicting spirit of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost convicted the hearts of those individuals, and they looked at Jesus and they said, "Who is this man? He's teaching these kinds of things. I know. I've been knowing him since he was a boy." Have you ever, you know, from the standpoint of when I was a young minister, I don't feel like I'm young anymore. When I was a young minister, sometimes you'd have the thought that people were just kind of patting you on the top of your head and saying, "Look at you. You're just a little child. You don't know much." And I didn't. But you know, I had to get used to that. The Lord had to teach me how to humble my little heart and let them pat me on the top of the head and say what they wanted to say about me. "Well, I know, boy, I've been knowing you since you was in diapers." Yeah, sometimes that's kind of humiliating for a man. We don't want you to say that. But this is how people responded to us. You know, sometimes, and I'm sure all of us have come to those kind of places. When the Lord, maybe the Lord wants to use you, or maybe the Lord, you're in some kind of capacity that you're in authority over people that are older than you. And maybe they're much older than you. And do you know that takes some grace for the old people to be led by a young person, and it takes grace for a young person to lead older people. It takes grace on both sides. So you have to get grace to say, "Listen," even though this is what they were saying to Jesus. He said, "You know what?" They said, and they were astonished at his sayings, and "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" Then they were offended. "I know him. He has no right to say what he's saying. He has no right to convict us like he's convicting us." Their expectations were something different than reality. So what I want to say to us today is, Scripture speaks about us worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And that truth means in God's reality. And so in essence, we need our expectations founded not on something that's in our mind, but based on God's reality. This is why there is a danger in expectations. Because an expectation happens in the confines of a controlled environment. It happens in the confines of my mind. So I have this expectation of you and the situation, and I can tell exactly what's going to happen, and this is going to happen, and when that gets through happening, this is what's going to happen. And we have it all, and we calculate it in our mind exactly what's going to happen. And when it doesn't happen like that, we are upset. And what we have the capacity to do in our mind is we have the capacity to deal with all of the elements that go into making our expectation. So I can manipulate any point. I can manipulate what I think you're going to think. But when we're actually in reality, I have no control over the elements and the environment. I only have the control over the environment of my expectation, which happens all and incubates, if you will, in my mind. And now that incubation period of my mind is different from the reality that actually sets up right now, and now I'm disappointed. So what we must seek for is the reality. Too many variables. May the Lord help us. All right. And so we try to change God. We try to feel like we understand Him when we really do not. Now, I've been up here a little while, and sometimes I tend to get long-winded. I try not to do that. And I'm going to try to bring this to an end so you won't go to sleep on me. Psalm 62, verse 5. "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him." So that's the reality of it. My soul, wait thou upon God. Not upon yourself. Not upon what you think. Your expectation is not coming from you, but your expectation is coming from God. Have you ever been in a situation where you are talking to somebody and you say to them, "You know what, I think this is a good idea." You make a little suggestion. You know what a suggestion is? In essence, an expectation. You might say, well, you can do it or you cannot do it. But in your mind, you've calculated the situation, the circumstance, and you see that your way is best. And you make the suggestion. Do you know God's way is best? And sometimes He'll just suggest something to you. You have your man of free will, your man or woman of free will. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. But let me tell you, when the Lord makes the suggestion for you to do it, it's His expectation that you do it. But He gives you the liberty not to. If you don't want to do it, you don't have to. But what He says, my soul, whatever you're in, just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. Wait only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. I have an expectation from the Lord. And I want the Lord to show me and to give me an understanding of, make it congruent. Make everything congruent in my mind. I want my expectation to be based in reality. And the only reality that there is God. He's truth. That's the reality. So may the Lord help us. I trust that the thoughts that we left here tonight would be a blessing to each one of us. Pray for me.